All righty, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 3:11. And as you know, we have spent a lot of time on this program talking about the electrification of New York State. And a lot of that time has been spent on the idea that the cost of upgrading the electric infrastructure, the grid, is going to be absurd, and it's decades away from completion, not years away, not quarters away, it's decades away from being anything like ready for what is to come. And the bottom line is, as we have talked about in recent programs, you are going to pay for it. You're going to pay for every aspect of this in every possible way you can imagine. But today, I really don't want to go into your electric bill, your delivery charges, your taxes, your smart meter. I don't want to go into that today because there's an aspect of this that we really have not gotten into an awful lot. And it dawned on me yesterday when speaking with Phil, our caller. I bet you know who Phil really is. And also communicating with the guy we're going to refer to henceforth as the electric guy, who works in the electric field, shockingly enough. Now, as we proceed today, especially those of you who are electricians, those of you who are plumbers, those of you who are really good at home fixing stuff, contractors, I really want to hear from you because that is an area of life that really I was not trained to do. Okay. I can change a light bulb and that's pretty much about it. Plumbing, I can change the filter in the refrigerator, but that's about it. It's just a screwing motion. It's quite easy. I think I can handle that. But anyway, the appliances. We got into that a little bit yesterday with Phil, but then I realized following the show, you know what? I don't think people who listen to me understand what is going to happen with their appliances and what exactly is going on with this electrification. And part of that is my fault because we focused so much on the smart meters, the need to do the grid, the cost of the electric school buses, the fact that you're going to be subsidizing people who have no means. And you're going to be paying more for that. You're going to be paying to get those electric buses for your school district and the charging stations. That's going to be on you. You're going to be paying for the upgrade of the New York electrical grid. That's on you. State Public Service Commission says to the utilities, oh, yeah, you can pass these costs on. No problem. Consumers, customers, they're going to take care of it. But there's another area where you are going to get screwed. Don't even get me started on the taxes, because that's going to be another area. But specifically, the appliances, okay? Electric versus natural gas appliance cost. And here is what you are going to run into if you need new electric service lines installed, okay? And most of you are, well, I'll get into that in just a moment. But the natural gas prices in New York State, basically, heating with natural gas is typically going to be cheaper per unit of heat delivered, but the electricity appliances like heat pumps are increasingly efficient if you have a home with good insulation, and a lot of it obviously depends very heavily on usage. Now, the way it stands right now, my understanding is natural gas, and I know it's tough to think about heating today, but hey, it's August. You know it's coming in just 2 months. At current prices, natural gas is still cheaper for you as an operating cost to heat your home compared to electric resistance heat. But the high efficiency electric heat pumps and appliances can narrow that gap. Now, narrowing the gap means the gas is still going to be less expensive, but you're not going to be able to change out a natural gas appliance after the year 2030. Okay, so beginning on January 1st of 2026, I think you know this by now. Our builder dude called in, and he's called in before, Phil, telling us about this. And essentially, let me just give you the laydown on this, or would it be the lowdown? Single family and low-rise buildings in New York State need to use all electric systems, no natural gas hookups, if your building is under 7 stories. However, by 2029, there will be no gas hookups allowed on the taller buildings as well. But this begins January 1st of the coming year. In other words, in mere months. Now, this is all being done, as you know, to reduce emissions and decrease the need for expanding gas line infrastructure. But did anybody think about what it's going to do to construction costs? Anybody think about what it's going to do to increase the strain on the electric grid, driving up utility rates? Because I hate to go down this road again, because this isn't the focus of today's show, but your smart meter is monitoring when you are using your electricity. And you're paying more if you're using more electricity during demand times. You are paying more money. So that answers the question of, well, geez, I'm actually using less electricity than I was 2 years ago, but I'm paying a hell of a lot more. Well, that's because you're being charged like you're buying a concert seat for Bruce Springsteen. I'm just saying. Now, the widespread electrification, this is computer modeling. This isn't my opinion. This is the computer's opinion. Widespread electrification in cold regions could actually increase peak energy demand up to 150%. What does that mean? That means you are going to be on the hook. Check this out. You're going to be on the hook for an estimated $2,600 to almost $6,000 per household in grid reinforcement costs over time. Well, you don't think they're going to soak up all that money themselves. They're going to pass the cost on to you because they can. So this means that as they update the grid, because the increased peak electricity demand is going to go up to 150%, they need to obviously upgrade things, and that's going to cost money. It's going to cost you the money, $2,600 to $5,800 per household. Now, there's another thing that we haven't really gotten into, because gas customers, they're going to have to convert, because look, your gas stove, your gas furnace is not going to last forever. These things have a limited lifespan, right? So as you have more gas customers converting, first of all, you'll have more people using electric, which will further drive up demand. And then look at it this way. The more people who get off of gas, natural gas, the fewer customers the gas companies, the utilities are going to have. So the gas customers who stay with gas could actually face ridiculous increases in your bills up to 46% more in 15 years. And I happen to think that is a grievous underestimate of what it's going to cost gas people, because the pipeline infrastructure for gas is going to be spread among fewer users. So you're going to be more on the hook as an individual. And I do think it's going to be more than 46% over 15 years, year to year. That's not even a much of an appreciable increase. But the new electric service lines, this has come up on the show. And what this means is that you are, let's just say your house can only handle X amount of electricity and put it out, X amount of electricity. And you suddenly need X plus X electricity. Guess what? You're probably going to need new stuff inside your home, and you're going to need a new source for that power. I'm trying to simplify this because I don't understand these things at all. But anyway, if you need an overhead single phase extension, that's over $23 a foot. Now, if there are existing poles, it'll be $8 a foot, $21 a foot if new poles need to be put up. Underground service, oh, you're going to love, well, I don't even want to get into underground service, but the bottom line is here that on one of the internet sites where people talk about converting, the utility setups for an electrified home are costing roughly $10,000, and we're talking about the electricity utility setups, $10,000. That is for, let's say, 600 feet of an underground run, including the transformer, after the allowance from the utility. That's an average, okay? $10,000. The overall average to bring electric to a vacant lot, that's between $2,500 and $12,000, and it depends on how long it is, the kind of ground at which you're looking, and overhead versus underground. Underground is obviously a more expensive route. So basically, if you currently have gas appliances, you're probably paying less for heating. But these heat pumps are becoming increasingly efficient. However, when you consider the cost of installing the heat pump, the cost of the heat pump, what is your break-even point on these things? Now, they say that it will make electric more competitive. Okay, well, that's still, if they're still worried about being competitive, that obviously means that natural gas is still expected to be more affordable, at least with today's modeling, because remember, those gas prices are going to go up the more people desert natural gas, fewer people supporting the gas company, right? So if you're going to do a new build after the next few months, you're going to have to go all electric. So you're going to have higher construction costs. You're going to have higher infrastructure costs. So if you need new service, you're going to have to figure out, are you getting overhead or underground? And you're going to have to ask the utility for an estimate. But if you need the electricity, you need the electricity. And even if it's overhead, it's going to be rather on the pricey side. And what you can expect as a consumer, and I haven't even gotten into the appliances yet, I will do that. But what you can expect as a consumer and a taxpayer is the utility rate will increase because electrification is going to ramp up. The infrastructure upgrades are going to go ahead and they're going to pass the cost on to you. And remember, the people are going to be deserting the gas utilities to go to electric, which is going to leave fewer people to pay the gas company. So their rates are going to go up. So this is obviously a very interesting situation. So some of you are a little bit confused about this because you're thinking you're safe because, well, I'm not going to build a new house. I'm kind of happy my place in Cheektowaga or Tonawanda or Clarence. I'm happy with it. Got my good old natural gas furnace here. And I suppose when the natural gas furnace dies, I can just go out and get another natural gas furnace. No, you're not going to be able to do so after the year 2030. After 2030, okay, in just over 4 years from right now, you're not going to be able to replace a gas furnace with another gas unit. You're going to have to switch to a non-combustion alternative like a heat pump or electric furnace. This is after 2030. And this applies to oil. It applies to propane as well. Because after 2030, you should know this. All electric options for heating, heat pumps or electric furnaces, those are the only things that are going to be permitted. You're not going to be allowed anything else. To me, that is beyond absurd. Now, I happen to be a big fan of what RFK is doing to bring your attention to junk food and the SNAP program. 10% of the money spent in SNAP is spent on sugary beverages. Like, that's not why the program exists. It's supposed to buy healthy food, not crap. But for everybody else, RFK Jr. is all about choice. You want to drink high fructose corn syrup cola? Go ahead. But we're also going to have the cane sugar cola. That's going to be available. And I think it's a better choice, personally. It's what I used to drink when I drank pop. So anyway, if your furnace, that is natural gas, your best energy value. I used to do those ads. When your furnace dies and it's natural gas, or for that matter, oil or propane, that unit, if it dies after 2030, you are going to have to electrify your heating. Now, this brings retrofitting into the mix. Now we're getting into the appliances. Are you happy? Okay. Heat pump installation. Okay. Have you thought about the cost of the heat pump, the materials, and the labor? How about the weatherization? Because it's not just putting in a heat pump. If you want a heat pump to be effective, you're going to have to make a lot of upgrades to the shell and the bones of your home. Think about that for a minute. Some people say, well, before I go down that road, let me just get into this. The Empire Center says that combined costs to put a heat pump in your home and weatherize your home are going to range, and there's a wide range here. I don't know why it's such a wide range. $4,400 to over $41,000, depending on the size and condition of your home. That's quite a range. Let's call it $4,000 to $41,000. I could have come up with that without doing some big study and analysis myself, couldn't you? I'm sure you could have. So at the high end of return on investment, you might not get payback with this for 30 years. 30 years. On the low end, they say a couple of years. Really? Okay. Now, this is, again, this to me is, it's absolutely fascinating. And as far as space and water heating, there are some proposals that talk about extending replacement bans to gas stoves and clothes dryers to 2035. But we don't know what's going to happen with that. But the bottom line here is you are going electric in New York State. And we've talked about so many other issues with this, but we haven't really gotten into the appliance and the appliances and what's going to happen to you in a real world situation when your natural gas stove breaks down after 2030 and you're going to have to go all electric. When your furnace breaks down, you go all electric. What do you do with your hot water tank? Now, you might be a plumber listening to this program. You may be an electrician, as I said earlier. You may be somebody who just knows how to do this stuff. Like I said, I can screw in a light bulb. Does that count? I want your take on this because I don't think people get it. I don't think people understand what is going on and for what expenses they're going to be on the hook in just over 4 years from right now when something major goes down in their house. I would love to hear from you guys and ladies who know of what you speak. And I also want to hear from consumers about this because, frankly, in Williamsville, my home, natural gas, as far as the heating and as far as the stove. And if I could have, I would have gotten a natural gas refrigerator. That wasn't quite an option. Natural gas internet? No, that wasn't an option. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to hear your calls because this topic has really gotten a lot of interest, but I really wanted to focus on the whole appliances and the inside your home stuff that I don't think people are aware of. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Oh, I thought for sure Tanner was going to come back with Mason Williams Classical Gas. Oh, but he didn't. He will in the future, I'm sure. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney Time is coming up on 338. Right now, we're focusing in, we've done a lot of shows on the electrification of New York State and what a stupid idea it is. And it really is dumb. It's also going to be a really costly thing for you in terms of your appliances and what you have to do down the line. It's going to be another impingement on your family's financial resources, okay? And the one thing I just want to be clear about, too, is the stove situation. As of right now, there is no ban on replacing a dead gas stove with a new gas stove after 2030, but there is a proposal to change that by 2035. And given what is in Albany and who's running the state at this point, do you have any reason to suspect that won't be the case? I would expect it would be the case because it's all or nothing, baby. It's all about the ideology. So, if you are a plumber or an electrician and you want to chime in on this, that would be awesome because this is a big deal because people in New York State, Erie County, Niagara County, everywhere listening to us are going to get taken to the cleaners with the cost of this cockamamie idea, which I don't understand because it's based on a flawed conclusion. Let's go to Mark in actually on a cell phone. If he's in his cell phone, he'd be very tiny. But a traffic note. Lancaster, where it turns into Central Avenue. Be careful in Lancaster around Central Avenue because a garbage truck blew out some hydraulic fluid, and apparently it's like an ice rink in August. And Tanner, the specific location of that, I know you talked to the feller who called in, but what was it? Tanner must be busy talking with Trevor, giving him the information. Central Avenue, Lancaster, garbage truck, hydraulic fluid, like an ice rink. Be careful. Let's get to Mark on a cell phone on WBEN. Mark, talking about appliances and what's going to happen after the gas ban goes into effect, and I don't think people understand what's at stake.
Hey, Tom. Happy to talk to you. I just want to say I guess there's two kinds of people in this world, ones that follow the sheep and ones that don't, and I am one that doesn't. And I will burn gas and wood in my home until they plant me. And I'll tell you how I can buy a brand new furnace or whatever I want to buy. I can buy styrofoam. I can buy, you name it, plastic bags, whatever has been banned in crazy New York. And fortunately, I live here, but I've been the fourth generation now here. I just go to Pennsylvania. They'd be happy to sell me a new furnace, new hot water tank, styrofoam cups, whatever I want, I can buy. I'll take it home.
But as far as installation, are you up to that? I mean, I'm not sure what regulations are going to be in place to prevent people from doing that, but you might be in violation of code. I mean,
I've been a do-it-yourselfer for 50 years. If I can't do it, I'll bet you that there's going to be some guys out there that can and will. But they're not advertising that they're going to do this. This is something...
But in New York State, that could be the death penalty. Putting in a natural gas furnace for somebody that shouldn't have a natural gas furnace anymore, that might be death penalty eligible.
Well, just saying. It might be, but it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
All right, Mark, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. And as far as the sheep, I'm actually barred by the courts from being within 100 feet. Thank you. Here is Mark in West Seneca talking about appliances. Look, I don't know how that's going to work with people buying their own stuff and putting it in or people doing it on the sly. I have no idea. Mark, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I got two questions. What if you live on land that has no electricity available? You know, they should be able to do propane. And then my worry is people buying propane stoves and heaters and using them in their houses and then more fires.
So the first question is, what if you live on land that has no electricity and it's propane?
Yeah.
So what do you think is going to happen? Let me just go. What do you think is going to happen?
I honestly, logically, they can't tell you to use an electric appliance because it's not going to work. So I don't see how they could say if you don't have electricity, you know, what are they going to do? I don't see how they can do anything.
Well, here's the thing, sir. Believe it or not, let me tell you how it's going to work. If you live on land that does not have electricity, you're not exempt from the electrification rules. Even if your property does not have electric service, the state's ban on replacing propane, oil, or the natural gas appliances is still going to apply. So you may be legally required to install electric alternatives. So you're going to be on the hook then to bring electric service to the property unless you can run the appliances with solar or a battery or off-grid power.
Wow. I don't think people know that.
here's a fun fact. It depends a lot on the circumstances, but if you needed to put anywhere from 50 to 1,000 feet of new electric line on your property, you are looking in New York State at anywhere from $10,000 to $50,000 to get hooked up to the grid. And some people who live in the country have actually talked about electric hookup quotes of over $80,000 if their long runs from the road.
Yeah, because I have a friend who lives out past Java, and I don't know of a nearby line that they could tap into.
As I understand this, and again, I spent a lot of time on this last night and this morning and this afternoon before the show, which I think is obvious. But as I understand this, what's going to happen is if you live off grid in the sticks and your whatever goes down, you're going to have to get electrified, and it's going to cost you a small fortune. But think about this, though. People who live in the country might be tempted to move into a city. And that's been a theme of recent shows we've done about this desire to group people together in cities. And I'm just saying, it's almost like they want to control people.
I agree with you. Bringing it that way, they want to have you in there and control everything.
Well, that's my take on it. I don't think I'm alone in that. I don't think it sounds nuts anymore.
I agree with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Oh, the second question I don't think I really addressed. Yeah. What was that again?
Do you think people will buy propane camping stuff and that and then bring it into their house, but then they're increasing the risk of a fire?
Yeah, I hope not, only because I've talked to a lot of people on the air and off the air who've been the subjects and victims of house fires, and that's something I wouldn't wish upon anybody that I even didn't like. So, I don't know what people are going to do. People surprise me sometimes with how smart they are, and other people surprise me with how challenged they might be. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Oh, I surprise myself with how challenged I am, because I don't know how to do a damn thing around the house. I'm useless, hopeless, never going to change. 803-0930. I look at a Lego and I start to get the cold sweat. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Did you know about this whole appliance thing in New York State and what's going to happen after 2030? And I know it seems like, well, that's 2030. A lot can change. Well, what's going to change? Do you really think that New York State is going to have this great awakening and the Republican Party is going to revivify and come to life from the grave? I wish I could say that that's how I genuinely thought, but I don't, because the Democrat Party has an incredible organizing machine in New York State and in Erie County and in New York City. And I just don't see the political climate and the ideological climate changing. So I think you're going to be stuck with 2030. Hey, this goes down on you and you're in for a big expense in addition to the other big expenses for which you're going to be on the hook because of this electrification of New York State baloney. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen such a ridiculous proposal that is going to cost people they supposedly care about more money. Really? We care about the working people. We care about working families. Really? So that's why you're going to stick them with tens of thousands of dollars of extra costs? All right. Good for you. Good for you. First-rate thinking. All right, welcome. And one of the things that I realize is you guys are totally into this electrification of New York State topic and how bad it is going to be for you. And we spent a lot of time talking about the macro issues, but now I want to get into the micro stuff. Micro? I know a thing about that. Giggity. But the micro stuff, such as you and your home, how it's going to hit you at home, because gas appliances, except the stove, will be verboten after 2030. So if you have a gas or propane furnace after 2030 and it goes down on you and it dies, the electric grid isn't even going to be ready. So when you switch to a heat pump, you might brown out your street. But hey, at least you're going to be suffering with equity and in a sustainable fashion. I assure you, Kathy Hochul will not be suffering. She'll be fine. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Remind me, somebody, to bring up the hot water tanks. And a special invite for those of you who are electricians or plumbers. Look, I know you're busy, so if you could call, it's great. But if you can't, I know. Actually, Rochelle's dad was a master electrician. So, unfortunately, he's no longer with us because I put him to work. Here's Dan. And we actually had mutual friends, which is really weird. Hello, Napolis. Dan in Cambria on WBEN. Hello.
Hello.
Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. I know you're told you I'm also a builder. Our company has been in business. I'm 74 years old, and we were building houses before I was born. My parents were. But anyways, we've always had natural gas as our first choice. Now, there are some areas that we built in that didn't have natural gas, and in those days, we were forced to use oil heat, which nobody really wanted because it was such a dirty heat. And then in the 70s, I believe the early 70s, when there was a moratorium on getting gas to your house. Even if you had gas in the front of the street, you couldn't tap into it. So we did a very few houses with electric heat. I can tell you, once gas was available, those people all took their, you could drive down the street and you'd see an electric furnace at the curb because they were putting gas in. And,
okay.
I mean, I happen to live in a rural area in the town of Cambria. I do not have natural gas available to me. I wanted it. I built a brand new home 8 years ago. I already had electricity on the property, but I did put the, I know you spoke about this, I think a week or so ago, a geothermal furnace in, which is all right, okay? I do have propane for my cooking and my gas dryer, okay? And as far as I know, that's still going to be available to us.
Nope. No, propane is a fossil fuel. After 2030, if anything, propane, if you're using propane, you're not going to be able to use it.
Right. But, you know, maybe by then, I don't, who knows.
I will say a so-called fossil. I'll say so-called fossil fuel. I'm not sold. But anyway, go ahead.
And the other thing that, again, you just had on your radio station, a commercial for whole house generators. Okay.
Majority of them. Majority.
Don't say anything
of them.
Bad okay. about a sponsor, please. I can't. That's going to get me.
No,
in
no,
trouble.
Not saying anything bad.
Okay,
no, they're
okay,
wonderful.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
I have one. I have.
All right, just had to make sure.
Generator, but of course, mine has to be fueled by propane. Okay, but the people that don't have aren't going to have gas are not going to be able to put a generator in for when the power does go off. And I've had the power go off in my house. I've been in it 8 years, maybe twice, and my generator has kicked on. No problem. In fact, I called National Grid at the time, and they came out, and they couldn't understand why I was calling because my house was all lit up. I said, well, it's because I have a generator. My house is lit up. I don't have electricity in the house, though. You know.
Well, here's the deal. I want to be real clear about this because I'm trying to get people information, and if I say something wrong, I want to be corrected on this. But here's the deal with the propane. You will be allowed to use propane or natural gas to power your backup energy source. So if you feel like spending all that money on a generator, you can pay the money then to have a backup natural gas source. But here's the question. With so many people who are going to be leaving the gas line because they're being forced to electrify, can you even afford to run the backup generator?
Well, no, I not all the time. Absolutely not. No.
Well, no, it would be a backup power source. But even so, I mean, they can whole house natural gas generators can be kind of expensive to run. I think it's worth it, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah, and they don't normally give you electricity for everything in the house. There's a limitation on how many appliances and things they can. Yes, they will. You know, they will run your furnace. You know, if it's a gas furnace or if it's electric furnace, you know, it'll run that. Okay.
You started out a conversation by saying you are a builder, and what I want to focus on today is the appliances and things that are going to be covered by the natural gas ban that are going to cost people a fortune. And one of the things that I think is very important to point out, and because you are a builder, I think you can elaborate upon this, is the typical home. Let's say you've got a 1927 build or a 1950 build in Western New York. You're probably going to need a better service panel, and you're going to need increased electricity coming to your home.
Right. You are absolutely right.
Because you're probably running 100 amps, you're going to need at least 200 amps, and you're going to have to upgrade your electric service, which is going to be a major capital expense.
Right. Well, as we are building new homes as of today, okay, we are still putting in a minimum of 150 amp service, but in a lot of cases of larger homes, we are putting in the 200 amp service, okay, to accommodate, you know, newer appliances and things like that. And the more electricity, obviously, you need, you're going to have a bigger service, okay? And the other thing I wanted to point out to you, okay, now we have a subdivision in the town of Pendleton, and we have some in the town of Wheatfield, okay, and in North Tonawanda. We just signed up someone last night to build in North Tonawanda. The reason being, they want to start right away because they want to get their house going before that January 1st deadline.
I don't even want to get into the deadline and what that means. Like, if the house starts before January 1st, is it exempt?
I think long as you have your gas service in, which we order those immediately, okay, there is already gas on the street. And that's the other thing. There was talk. They didn't approve it yet, the state. If you have a subdivision or a street that has natural gas on it, okay, and there's a vacant lot and you want to build a house there, you are going to be able to possibly tap in to the natural gas, okay? Now, they didn't get quite, because they had to go on their vacation or their break, whatever you want to call it, so they didn't quite pass that through. The Builders Association is still fighting for that, which I'm also a member of the Builders Association. We don't know if they're going to pass that or not. Now, in one of my subdivisions, for instance, I had to pay a certain amount of money, which was thousands of dollars, to get service, to get a gas line in my subdivision, which we did. And the thing is, we would get a certain amount of money back as we tapped into those gas lines.
You would get them back in what fashion? As a rebate?
They would actually give the builder a rebate, a check.
And the rebate was funded by whom? Was that taxpayers?
No. We paid money. I'm going to use round figures. Say $2,000.
Oh, it comes back. Oh, I see. You paid it up front. And they give it back to you.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Okay.
Roger.
Once we tapped into it. Okay. But now we still have a few lots left in that subdivision. Not many. I think we have a total of six left in that subdivision. But if we can't tap into that gas, that money I spent is completely lost. They're not going to rebate me because we're not tapping into it.
Understood. Hey, so Dan, I've got a lot of people who want to get in on this, but I want to ask you one thing. What do you think is most important? And I want to keep it to the appliances today because I haven't done a real good job with appliances so far as I've covered this electrification nonsense. What fact do you believe people should know that most don't know? The one thing people need to know, what would it be?
Well, I think I told you earlier, I do have a geothermal system in my house.
Yes.
And the reason is because I didn't have natural gas available to me, and I didn't want to depend on the propane, okay? And at the time, I don't know if it's still in effect, at the time they were giving you a rebate, New York State was giving you a rebate on the propane, okay? On the geothermal, okay? It works fine. My geothermal system works fine. I have no complaints with that, okay? Other than I can tell you my electric bill, because that's what it runs on, okay? My electric bill is more than my last house did have natural gas furnace. Okay, my last my electric bill is twice of what my gas bill was on my other house.
Holy crap! Yeah.
So,
I gotta get to some other folks. I'm glad you called, and thank you very much. And people, you know, you can do your research on what it would cost you to get a geothermal system in your home, and you want to look out for the cost of the unit, the cost of the installation, the cost of possible retrofitting, including your electrical service at your home, and the operating costs of a geothermal versus what you're now using, no matter what, you know, whether it's oil, natural gas, propane, and tell me if the numbers work. Because my beautiful bride has run numbers. That's what she does. She's a numbers chick, and I think what her numbers are 666. I could be wrong. But she says, yeah, this is not good, Tom. This is not good. Because she knows I don't do numbers. She does numbers, okay? She's all about ROI. What am I going to do? Anyway, she got a bad investment with me. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. She's out spending money right now. That's something new. Jeez. Anyway, she drives so slow. Good Lord. I'm serious. All she needs is like a big sun hat. That's all she needs. People would never know that she's as young as she is. I'm sorry. Had to get that out. I hope she's listening. And I hope I don't have to sleep on the couch again. Anyway, let's get to the very latest in traffic on News Radio 930 WBEN. We're talking about natural gas and the appliance angle with this electrification nonsense in New York State. And quite frankly, I got to tell you something. I'm proud to be one of the few people who is beating the drum on this. I know Dominic Cortese on Saturdays, he's been beating the drum on it. And Dominic knows what he's speaking about as a builder and Mr. Home Improvement guy. It's hammer time. Dominic knows of what he speaks. So some of this stuff I've stolen from Dominic, and others I've been working on last night, this morning, this afternoon, because I don't like to come in here without a quiver of factual arrows. Anyway, let's go to Chris in, is it Burlington, Ontario, Canada? Baltimore, Maryland, I'm sorry. Folks, oh, Baltimore, Ontario, that guy again. Okay, yes, we spoke with him last week or the week before. Tanner, I'm awfully sorry to be so old and my eyes don't see this two-point type on the computer, but everything looks like it's two-point type. Let's go to our caller. Hi, Chris. Bail me out, bro.
Hi, Tom. It's good to talk to you again. I'm just recently retired. I'm a master electrician. And a lot of these problems, they're problems that have to do with money. And you're absolutely right when you talk about that and you say, well, you know, this is all going to cost money. Electricity works fine. There's nothing wrong with electricity. You can have an electric stove. You can have an electric water heater. You can heat your house with electricity. It works just fine. It's quite reliable. But, you know, the cost is the real problem. And I acknowledge that. I don't want to see gas disappear. It's not going to disappear anytime soon in Ontario. And
that's disturbing if New York State is more left-wing than Ontario. I never thought I'd see the day. Yes, I did.
Yeah, no, nor did I. Anyhow, the changeover, if it's a little bit at a time, it's not so horrible. You know, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, I want to add an electric stove, I have a natural gas stove. Well, it's 2 to 3 hours labor and probably about $150 to $200 in materials, depending on how far your stove is.
Chris, I love you, but right now you're being an example of why some of our people don't like taking Canadian callers on New York State or United States issues. I love you, and I'm not trying to be a jerk, but here's the problem, okay? Did you not just say if you want to put in an electric stove?
In other words, you indicated it was a choice. Thanks for asking questions, Tom. I appreciate that. Well, go ahead.
I'm not trying to be Perry Mason. I'm not trying to be Perry Mason here, but there's not going to be any choice. And what I think you need to understand, and I hate to get back to this because we've covered it so much, but maybe I can't cover it enough. The electricity is going to cost people more money. The smart meters are costing people more money because people are being charged more for using electricity in peak demand hours. The smart meters may also be used to regulate people's air conditioning or heat, depending on the season. It's kind of an invasive situation. It's kind of like being under surveillance. Oh, the air conditioning is at 77? Nonsense. We're going to put it at 85. They'll be fine with that. So that is an issue, and you're going to have more people and more things using electricity, which is going to drive those rates up dramatically, in addition to the cost of upgrading the electrical grid, in addition to the increased school taxes because of the $350,000 school buses that the districts are going to have to buy, along with the very fire hazardous charging units for those school buses. And by the way, I hear those school buses suck, by the way. And didn't we spend $160 million with a Canadian firm that was supposed to send EV buses to the United States, just pocketed the money and made off with the funds? Well done. So anyway, what I'm trying to point out to you is people, I don't think what I'm trying to focus on here is not, well, if you choose and if you put things in one at a time, this is going to be a major financial albatross on the necks of everybody in New York State, in particular, those who live in the rural areas, you know. MAGA people. I want you to hold on. I want to give you a chance to respond to that, Chris. As a master electrician, I have a great deal of respect for you. You work with your hands and you do a very difficult job. And had he been alive, a master electrician would have been my father-in-law. I guess he still is, in spirit. Thank you. It's Bowerly at News Radio 930 WBEN. We're going to get right back to the telephone calls. A lot of people want to get in on this. And look, guys, I am well aware we've done a lot of shows on the electrification nonsense in New York State. But I haven't done a real good job about being specific about appliances and what you're going to have to do in the home. We've talked about the macro and how it's going to affect you financially, paying for the upgrade of the infrastructure for electricity, the grid. You're going to be on the hook to buy these $300,000, $350,000, $450,000 school buses that are electric, complete with the chargers they will need. Your school taxes are certainly going to go up. Your electricity cost is going to go up. The smart meters can be used to control how much heat you use in the wintertime if you're heating with electric, or how much cooling you'd get in a day like today, for example. That is a possibility with smart meters. I know it depends on the configuration, and I'm not sure what it is you are getting for your smart meter, whether it has the ability to control your power, but I've certainly heard from people who have said that, reading online, that has happened to them. So as far as your appliances are concerned, you know, after 2030, if you've got a gas furnace and it dies in 2030, you're going to have to go electric. You are going to have to go electric. But here's where I think this is stupid, because you will be heating your home with electric and using a grid that can't handle the replacement. Because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you can do your own research on this. New York's electric grid, we're not talking about 5 years. It's a complete project. We're talking about decades and decades and decades of modifications that have to be done. $300,000, $350,000 school buses, electric, that are not going to work. Now, I know that's not really a household appliance, but I just wanted to mention it. The new construction, as we've talked about, has to be electric. So heat pumps in a Buffalo January. Now,
if you are in an older home. Now, this is certainly an appliance situation. If you consider your gas furnace, well, maybe that's considered to be the mechanics of the home. I don't know. But if you're in an older home, replacing a gas furnace is now going to require insulation, ductwork, electrical service upgrades, and sometimes your basement ceiling is going to have to be rebuilt to fit it all. Many of you live in older homes, and you're going to be on the hook for maybe $30,000, but hey, you're saving $50 a year in carbon credits, yeah. And if you do stay on gas for your appliances, your bill is going to skyrocket. Why? Because as people are leaving gas behind because they have to, there will be fewer people feeding the natural gas monster. So your price is going to go up. There will be fewer of you, and the cost will go up for each remaining person. What else? It just is absolutely silly. Oh, somebody brought this up earlier. So let's say you need to upgrade your appliances. You got to go electric. Okay. You live in an area that does not have electrical service, or you live in an area where you need electric upgrades. Well, guess what? It's going to cost you a fortune to have electricity run to your property. People are getting quotes for $40,000, $50,000, $80,000, in particular, if they live a long way from the service that now exists, to have power strung to their homes. Who can afford that? Who can afford? What, you country folk have $80,000 saved up in the cellar and old shoeboxes? I don't think so. But you do have some pretty yummy preserves, not going to lie. Are we ready, Tanner? Oh, thank you, sir. I thought that's what you'd said, but my voice overrode yours in my headphones. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And what I'm trying to do here is open some eyes on what you are going to be facing, because I don't think it's going to be pretty. And just keep in mind, this is all being done to advance an ideology. An ideology that man is affecting the climate. Well, to buy that, you have to believe that man affected the climate the last time the glaciers got melted from over Western New York, and the time before that, and the time before that. It makes no sense. And yet you're going to be told to bend over and take it. Here's Chris again in Baltimore, Ontario. Anyway, Chris, you are a master electrician, and let us have you finish your thoughts on the appliance issue. You were talking about stoves.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Stoves, electric stoves, are you know, for people that aren't used to cooking on them, well, it takes a little bit of a transition time. But, you know, they're great. I have an electric stove in my homes, all three of my homes, and they work fine. I just have no problem with them. Electric water heaters, they do the job. They do the job just the same as a gas water heater. And I happen to have electric water heaters in all three of my homes. And for that part of it, if you consider, well, is it going to work the same? Well, yeah, pretty much. It's pretty much going to work the same. Now, I understand, Tom, that, you know, you may have questions about this, but I'm happy to take those questions if you have some.
Well, actually, I've got a lot of people who want to get their opinions out, so I'd rather do that than interview you. No disrespect intended.
Well, thanks, Tom, for taking my call. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And, I mean, ordinarily, I'd have a lot of questions for you, but everybody wants to get in on this, so I'd rather hear what people's opinions are right now, but I'm sure I'm going to be doing this again in the future, and I hope you don't take that as any disrespect. It's not intended that way. You said what you wanted to say, and I don't have any... I've got a lot of questions, but I'd rather get to the people who've been on hold forever. I'm sorry, guys. Let's go to Bill in Lockport on WBEN. We're talking about the cost to people in Western New York and across New York State, the appliance front with this electrification mandate. Hello.
Hi, Tom.
Bill, go ahead, please.
Thanks for having me on.
Yes.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so a little off from the household appliances, but I have a farm, and actually until I was just listening to you a little bit ago here, it hadn't even occurred to me that my grain dryer runs on propane. And I'd be curious to know how all of this is going to affect, obviously, not only myself, but every farmer in the area. Lots of farmers around me and around the state that run their grain dryers on either natural gas or propane.
I don't see at a glance any exemption for agricultural use. Let me just do some additional stuff on this. This is a fun fact. 90% of the grain dryers on American farms operate with propane. You don't have access to natural gas, right?
I do, actually, but about 6 years ago when I updated my dryer, I applied to the gas company for a meter for my grain dryer because I wanted to switch from propane to natural gas, and they denied me because they said that my grain dryer, which is a smaller size grain dryer relative to, you know, what a much larger farm would have, which uses, you know, like 1.5 million BTUs, they felt would have been too much of a draw on the gas system. They were afraid I was going to be putting out people's pilot lights when I fired it up.
Understandable, sir. Understandable. As of right now, my understanding is that the natural gas and propane grain dryers are not going to be affected by this, at least in the immediate term in 2030. But given New York's direction in the long run, who knows? But the one thing in your favor is an electric grain dryer. Really? You want to talk about drawing power? Those things are ridiculous. You might as well tap into the sun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine, like I said, I mean, over a million BTUs on it for propane. They're worried about me putting out people's pilot's lights. What's that going to do when I fire that up and it starts drawing on the grid?
And what if you have an especially wet harvest? That also adds to it.
Oh, certainly. I mean, I run that thing 24 hours a day during harvest, and I can only imagine the electric bill that would rack up as well.
Now, I just want you to keep something in mind, and this is a very important consideration with everything I'm about to say. Here's what you need to remember. I am a moron who can't fix anything. Do you understand that? But let me just give you what I think would be some common sense tips. You know the ins and outs of your propane-powered grain dryer on the farm. You know what usually dies on you. You know what may die on you. If I were in your shoes, I would stock up on some backup parts. So at least during the course of your lifetime as an agriculturally producing member of our society, you will still be able to dry your grain with propane. Stock up on anything you need to stock up on. I'm sure it's going to be expensive, but it might beat the alternative by a long time, by a long shot.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I'm sure that's what all of us will end up doing if something eventually comes down on us that we have to move in that direction. Of course,
I reckon that would be a good idea. Kind of what people did before prohibition kicked in. Everybody went up and stocked on booze, even people who didn't drink. And so what you want to do is, basically, prohibition is coming on natural gas stuff. And again, I want to emphasize, the propane grain dryers do not seem to be covered by this at this point, but you never know. So I would just be very prudent, reasonable, cautious in making sure that if it hits the fan, that you've got some backup stuff available before everybody else is going for it. And keep your eyes on Albany in case that changes. So if you don't do it now, you can be first in line when they make that determination.
Certainly.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
I have to tell you that grain dryers did not come up in my research. I was looking up stoves and water heaters and furnaces and some of the other appliances, and I didn't consider grain dryers. I just learned a new equipment piece. Let's get back to the call. 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. So the electrification of New York State, obviously, it's a hot-button issue with you, and today, focusing on the appliances and what it's going to cost you for the appliances. We focused on some of the other costs, and by the end of this, you're going to have any money left? Reach into the 401k because you're saving the climate. Right. Here is Al on WBEN. Hello, Al.
Hey, Al. Hey, Tom. Do you ever think about what BTUs it takes to upgrade a electric hot water tank?
Well, I'm a big fan of British thermal units, but
units. Okay. Well, if you have a 4-gallon hot water tank that's electric, do you and another significant other want to take 2 showers and do laundry within 8 hours? It's not going to happen. If you have a gas hot water tank, it's probably a 50,000 BTU hot water tank. If you go to electric and you have a person, a family with 4 people, who's going to draw straws to get the cold water at the end of the hot water tank? It's going to take almost a day to recover that tank.
Okay. I understand. I mean, I've never had an electric water tank that I know. They've all been natural gas, except one. I'm sorry, I have had one.
I wired a lot of homes and a lot of apartments with electric hot water tanks. They just can't recover fast enough. So it's you.
Well, we all have that issue the older we get. You know that.
Yeah, well, to you, your princess, and maybe you're doing some laundry, that electric hot water tank might be okay. But what if you have 2 young children that want to take showers?
If we have 2 young children, somebody should definitely call Guinness, but that's another story.
Well,
I hear what you're saying. So what your takeaway as somebody who has put these things in, your message to people about this electrification and the appliances for which we are going to have to be shopping after 2030 is what? What message do you want to leave as an indelible stain?
Absolutely horrible. I'm an electrician, or I'm going to retire, but it's the worst thing they could ever do.
Wow.
It's the worst thing this state could ever do. And somebody's got to stop it.
Well, I am definitely 100% in agreement with you. Now, yesterday, and this came up before, Nick Langworthy, he has introduced legislation in Washington to stop states from doing what New York State is doing. But I strongly suspect that even if it is signed into law, it is going to be opposed by states like New York on a 10th Amendment basis. And they're probably right.
Absolutely horrible. And I'm the guy that would be making more money putting bigger services in homes and everything. It's absolutely horrible.
Dude, you're already rich. You're a master electrician. Don't be crying the blues to me. You're
I'm going to be retired. I'm going to be sitting listening to my old buddies playing music.
All right, Al. I just wonder, at least the guitar amps are electrified. Thank you,
yes,
sir. I appreciate
the
call.
I'm working with tubes.
Oh, tubes are awesome. There's nothing like the sound of a tube answer. Thank you very much, Al in North Boston. I'm going to continue this after 5 on News Radio 930 WBEN. And I do want people who are electricians and plumbers to call in and give your opinions. I mean, yeah, I probably would have a lot of questions for you, but I got a lot of people who want to get on the air. So I'll put my questions aside for the time being and just let you vent, no pun intended. But nothing about this makes any sense whatsoever to me. And when I say this, I'm talking about the electrification of New York State. And again, if you're just joining us, you're saying, dude, you're talking about this every day. No, not quite, because we have addressed the macro issues in a lot of previous shows, and people have been very grateful for that, I might add. But today we're talking about you in your own home with your appliances. And this is after 2030. And remember, it's not just the cost of the appliance. It is the operating cost of the appliance, the installation cost of the appliance. And it's also what extra stuff do you need to do? What kind of a retrofit of your home? What kind of increased electrical service do you have to run to your house? How about the panel box? What are you going to have to do with that? It's a cascading thing, and I really do believe that this is going to end up costing a lot of people in New York State well into the 5 figures. Yeah. On News Radio 930, WBEN. A couple of pop-up showers just north of the 290 in the Tonawandas and North Tonawandas. Another one over Amherst. Nothing of any great consequence. More showers in Chautauqua County and Jamestown. And a little teeny shower over Niagara County, because it's not teeny if you happen to be in it, but no big deal. Some more stuff looming off to the west. We'll keep an eye on that. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the program. And what we've been talking about today is something that is of great interest to me and obviously of great interest to you, because this electrification of New York State thing, and I've done this as a topic on many occasions, but in my opinion, I kind of dropped the ball on talking about appliances, because we've talked about the upgrading of the grid and what it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you a lot of money. We've talked about the school buses you're going to be on the hook to buy and all those things, the increased cost of electricity. But today we're kind of focusing on, hey, your natural gas furnace goes down on you in 2030 or later, you're going to have to replace it with something that isn't natural gas. Your gas-fueled hot water tank. What are you going to do? And keep in mind that the 100 amps in your home is not going to be sufficient for the increased energy demands with electricity in your, shall we say, new home. I say new home, not that you're moving or building, but you're going to have to do some serious upgrades, possibly even run another line to your house with more juice in it. These things are not cheap. There's an ever-increasing demand for electricity. And we've already covered this in the other shows, but the system isn't ready for the demands that are going to be put on it. So you're going to have this awesome new furnace that isn't going to work because it's not going to... Are you going to be able to get electricity? Anyway, let's go to Rob in Lockport on WBEN. Welcome to the show, Rob. Appreciate it. We're talking about the appliances and what's going to happen with the gas ban. And the best call today was the grain dryer with the farmer. I love that call. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, Tom.
Sure.
One of the things with the way they're going to force electrification on existing buildings is it won't be the government doing it. It'll be your homeowner's insurance company, because what they're simply going to do is just make it illegal to write insurance for a home or business, for any building they determine, with any fuel-burning appliances. So it won't be the government coming. It'll be your insurance company.
Well, how is that going to be any different than the in its final effect? How is that any different in terms of getting people off of gas than the legal mandate, which goes into play in 2030?
Well, because it's another leg of the same thing. The legal mandate is great, but they don't have any way to get into your house. But your insurance company does. If you have a mortgage, you have to have homeowner's insurance. So that's how they'll get in.
I mean, as of right now, I mean, look, anything can change, but as of right now, mm-hmm. I've got no evidence whatsoever that anybody has lost homeowner's insurance because they have fossil fuel, so-called, in their homes or powering their appliances.
Yes, well, it hasn't happened yet, but that's how they're gonna enforce the electrification.
But if it was, I mean, what you're saying is, and maybe I'm just not getting something, is mm-hmm. the insurance underwriters are going to suddenly come to the conclusion that our natural gas appliances are a danger, and there is statistical evidence to suggest that you should charge more for homeowners, and that's the mechanism they're going to use, because that makes no sense.
No, it makes perfect sense, because the government is going to make it illegal for the insurance company to write insurance for homes with gas appliances.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it makes sense. We're talking government, right?
Yeah, we're talking New York State. I can see how that would work, but know what? And here's what's scary. Let's just take this one step further, shall we? Can you see New York State government telling the insurance people in New York State, you will no longer offer homeowners insurance or umbrella coverage if anybody is in possession of a firearm? Here's our list of registered pistol permit holders. You may revoke their policies at will.
Yes, I absolutely can see that happening, because right now there's some legislation where they want to require weapon owners to provide their own insurance.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that's why, I mean, if you're not already, I hope you're a member of the 1791 Society, and you can check out their page on Facebook.
I am. Now, I'm not just making this up. I work pretty closely with the Department of State, and that's who's going to be forced to enforce all this stuff. Through the buildings and codes.
Okay, so you work closely with this Department of State, but can you honestly say, I don't want to get you in trouble, I don't want to jam you up, but are you telling us that there have been discussions with homeowners insurance people about doing exactly what you suggested?
Yes, this information, I'm a municipal building inspector. All this information was given to us last January. That's how they're going to... That's how they're going to get into the home. And
so
they're going to use the insurance companies to do it.
You are in the loop. You got the memo and I didn't. You know more than I, despite hours of rigorous mind-bending research, sir.
Well, I know some stuff.
I know some stuff too, but not a lot.
Right.
I appreciate the info. And you know what? Here's an idea. If you are an insurance underwriter and you are familiar with how the insurance companies may get people off of homeowners insurance because they have fossil fuel appliances, I would like to hear from you if this is reality or if Rob is just kidding us. I don't think you are, but I'm just putting it out there.
And to answer Dan's question from a little earlier, the changes for new construction for next year will all be enforced by permit date. So whenever you if you're going to build a house in 26, get the building permit in 25.
Okay. I appreciate the information. Anything else you want to say that maybe people don't know? Because I'm trying my best, but I've really called upon people who are in the field, like the plumbers and the electricians, the master electricians, and the building people, because they're going to be more in touch than I am, because I can only learn so much in so many hours. But everything I've read about this causes me great concern about the future of the economic health of the families of New York State, because this electrification thing is going to be a draining financial burden.
It's going to be absolutely brutal. People have no idea. On every hot day, like the last couple of weeks have been quite hot, we're on the ragged edge of everything going out. If you look around in Western New York, all the cogen plants, you know, there's six or seven cogens in Western New York, which are a terribly inefficient way to make electricity, but they're forced by the government to run during those hot and cold days. You know, people talk about solar panels and windmills and all this stuff, but in New York State, only 3.9% of our electricity comes from renewables. We're really on the edge of a big blackout any day it gets hot.
And by the way, when our caller says co-gen, he means that these are plants that produce both electric and heat?
Well, the plants were all built to produce electricity and steam. Because usually they're alongside or coupled with heavy industry, but a lot of the heavy industry is gone, so now the plants are just producing electricity. So it just makes them inefficient. I mean, they do a great job, but it's not the most efficient way to make electricity. But the hypothetical grid just needs it, because there's just not enough around.
Sir, another way to look at this, too, even if tomorrow Kathy Hochul could wave a magic wand, and I'm convinced she may actually be a witch and belong to a coven. I think that actually might be reality. But if she could wave a wand and build a nuclear plant overnight, the electrical grid right now couldn't even handle the electricity it would put out.
Right. Yeah, could not.
I'm sorry. That strikes me as a great illustration of why this is such a cluster. Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. And thanks for being a good sport.
No problem.
All right. A very interesting point, and apparently he is in the know on this, and I know we have some insurance experts listening to the program. You know who you are. I know who you are. I'm not going to give your name. But is that correct, that the homeowners insurance people are going to be pressed into service to enforce this ideology-based nonsense of electrifying New York State? If you're just joining us today, we're focusing on the appliances in your own home, not the bigger picture, but the you picture, and how much this electrification is going to nail your finances. How are you going to afford this? Seriously, it's going to be horrible. Here is Anonymous on a cell phone. And we did actually hear from Anonymous in the recent history, but we've waived certain rules today. Anonymous, thanks for checking in, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, Tom.
I'm going to call you Mr. Electricity. Is that okay? Mr. Electricity? Yeah, not quite as good as Mr. Methane, but fine. Mr. Electricity is fine.
Yeah, that's fine. So okay. The department I work in at a local utility company, we deal strictly with transmission lines. Mm-hmm. That's all we work on. And we have the oldest transmission system in the country, and we're constantly trying to update, like Band-Aid together just the stuff that needs to be updated currently. And that's not running new wires, new conductors, which obviously carries all the load. But if they think that they're going to implement all this stuff, every circuit in the area would have to be reconductored. And you're not talking about just new wire. You're talking about new structures then, too, because the new structure or the old structures can't handle the weight of a bigger conductor on them because of our weather around here. We get ice load and, mm-hmm. and the wind and everything. So they would have to, I mean, you're basically starting from scratch on a lot of this stuff because it's from 1910, 1920, 1930.
Yes, it was put in just after the Pan American Exposition of 1901. I mean, President McKinley probably looked at the wire in your backyard in North Buffalo.
right.
Then he said, damn that Chulgosh. So one of the things that has come up, and this is going to hit people right in their own homes. Our homes, many of them were built a long time ago. You mentioned the 1910s for the utility infrastructure. But as far as people's individual mechanics and functioning of their homes, talk about the 100 amp panels and how much of a drain today's modern gadgets put on those.
Well, I don't deal with a lot of residential stuff. Like I was saying, the stuff that we deal with in our department is strictly bulk power transportation, and that's where all the loading is because that's what's supplying everybody's, you know, local substation, which ends up feeding their house. And as it stands,
forgive my interruption, but maybe you could answer this one. Can you give us an idea of what it's going to take for people who live in the country, maybe a ways back from the power line, to have electricity brought to their home? Is that up your alley?
That is residential. That's like a distribution lineman issue. The transmission guys strictly are dealing with, you know, the high tension wires that run down the side of the thruway and stuff. So all the bulk power transportation, which if it all has to be rebuilt, the figures from years ago were roughly $1 million a mile to rebuild transmission line. And years and years ago. So you're figuring probably $2-4 million a mile.
Wow.
Basically rebuild the transmission line, which, like you said before, that's just going to be passed on to the consumer. I have another friend of mine who works for another utility company in a planning department, and he says within 5 to 10 years, people's electric bills are going to be pushing $800 to $1,000.
I don't see how they, and you also have to add in then the school taxes, which are going to go up because, you know, it's not like some money fairy is going to come down and give money to the school districts for these electric buses and their chargers. And the electric buses, from what I hear, suck, and people aren't going to like them, especially when their kids are stranded in the middle of winter in Buffalo. But that's another story. But anyway, Mr. Electric, I thank you for the call, but I have one quick question for you. We kind of alluded to this the last time we spoke, and it is this. When I say that what I've learned from research is New York State's electrical grid isn't years, it's decades away from being able to handle anything remotely like the demand that's going to be placed upon it. Am I using hyperbole or hyperbole? Am I exaggerating? Is this the frantic ravings of a lunatic?
No, not at all. I mean, the projects we're involved in now aren't even nearly close to what would be coming down the pipe. I mean, we're talking, like the project we're working on now, we're doing 50, 60, 70 structure replacements, and it goes through environmental reviews. And I mean, you're talking 5, 6, 7 years in review just to do a smaller project like that, to do a complete line rebuild. And the amount of, there's not the workforce too. I mean, we can't support that amount of work that needs to be done. It's not feasible. I mean, unless you were pulling contractors from all over the country, but we're not the only people who need electric. So it's not even possible.
Wow. Nothing about this idea makes any sense. And Mr. Electric, I'm going to continue the focus on the appliance angle today, but you know how to reach me. I'll make it easier for you to reach me in the days to come.
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Electric on News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, sometimes I kind of wonder if the local media, with the exception of Dominic Cortez, I wonder if the local media are you even getting this information as you need it? Or do you kind of feel like you've been left on your own? Because this is clearly a subject of great interest to people listening to this show. And look, I'm not trying to pretend I'm an expert at the grid. I'm studying awfully hard. Okay, Bellavia knows a lot about the electrical grid. But I can't rip David off for every show I do. So I've had to do my own research. And I'm not trying to play expert where I have no expertise. I never want to get into that. I want to give you authenticity along with the mediocrity I provide. I do want to do that. But this is a topic of interest, and it should be of interest because it doesn't just affect you as a person. It affects your pocketbook. It's going to affect your family's financial situation in the years to come in a way I don't think most people realize. So stay with us on News Radio 930 WBEN. More of your calls coming up. Classical gas. I knew he'd do it. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. The he would be Tanner Saunders behind the glass making the magic happen. Right now, we have some rain and some heavier rain in a weird, kind of a weird shape following the contour of the river from the Tonawandas to Niagara Falls, and the heavier showers over Tonawanda and North Tonawanda, close to the Niagara River, and some more to the east of Niagara Falls, and also some rain over Jamestown, which always seems to get rain. I'm just saying. Jamestown, you're doing something. But anyway, today on News Radio 930 WBEN, what we've been doing is focusing on the home appliances that you're going to have to deal with after 2030 when your existing stuff breaks down and cannot be repaired, because it is going to be extremely expensive. Now, let's just say, for example, your natural gas furnace breaks and cannot be repaired after 2030 because of this whole cockamamie electrification of New York State stuff that is going on. And it's a juggernaut, and I don't see how it's going to be stopped given the ideological bent of those who pushed this through. But the geothermal has come up, and that is ground source heat. And I'm told that the heat pumps actually perform pretty decently in Erie County winters, Buffalo area winters, when you consider the effectiveness and some other practical considerations that people have. So the geothermal or ground source heat pumps are actually quite good for Western New York for various reasons with which I shall not bore you. However, well, let me just stay with the good. The good thing is, you should have 30 to 70% lower heating costs compared to gas, oil, or electric baseboard heat. That's the good news. Other good news, they are pretty reliable even during the winter because they're in the ground and the temperature stays pretty constant and they last for a long time. And you can also use them for cooling. Now, here are the downsides to geothermal. High cost up front. Because you got to drill boreholes. I've been called that. You got to drill boreholes, trenching loops, and that can cost significantly more than air source systems. Consider the property on which you're going to be putting this. You need enough lawn space for looping. Vertical wells are going to require drilling. There is some sensitivity, I'm told, in the design. You don't want a poorly designed and implemented geothermal system because that's not going to do anything for you except frustrate the heck out of you. Now, as far as the costs, you're saying, well, Tom, this all sounds really good. Geothermal is the way to go. Wait just a minute. The typical home system in Western New York, and again, this is what I'm told. This is not what I do for a living, but I'm told this. The typical home geothermal system in Western New York is going to run you anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000, depending on whether the loop type is horizontal or vertical, the acreage, and how difficult it is for the drillers to do what the drillers do. Now, they say that the payback period is anywhere from 8 to 15 years. There are some incentives and rebates offered, but wait a minute, who's paying for those? Wouldn't that be the taxpayers? I would say yeah, because the government does not get money because it's got money. It gets money because of what it takes from us and the people for whom we work. So that's a hell of a lot of money. So geothermal is an option, but I don't know how many billionaires we've got listening to the program. I mean, you can buy anything you want. Geothermal would be a good thing. So the appliance situation. Has anything that has been said today surprised you as you've listened to the program? Because I'm kind of curious where you guys are, and you ladies too. It's been all men, I believe, today. I'm kind of curious where you are and this whole appliances issue, because in 2030, your natural gas appliance goes down on you, cannot be repaired. you are probably going to have to replace it with something that isn't natural gas. Right now, the stove is an exception, but I don't expect that is going to last because the eggheads have all recommended that New York State by 2035, which is less than 10 years from now, and time does fly, or a fugit, that by 2035, any natural gas stove would have to be replaced by something that isn't natural gas. And we also had a caller who said that the homeowner's insurance is going to be used as an agent to enforce this. Now, he sounded like he knew what was going on, but I don't know the gentleman. I'll have to take him at his own good word, but I'd feel a lot better if I had some confirmation from somebody in the insurance industry, the homeowner's insurance industry. So geothermal heating, if you can afford the upfront, is supposedly pretty good. In fact, supposedly it's really good and it's long lasting, but that's an awful lot of money to pump into it at first, no pun intended, because let's just go over some of the specifics, shall we? The itemized bill, the heat pump unit is going to cost you anywhere from $4,000 to $8,000. The drilling and the trenching, anywhere from $10,000 to $25,000. You're going to probably need ductwork modifications. If you need it, that's going to go $2,000 to $6,000. As far as the controls, like the thermostats and the permits you're going to need, $1,000 to $3,000. Oh, electrical work and panel upgrades, anywhere from $1,000 to $5,000. So the total geothermal system is going to run you $18,000 to $45,000. So, I'm sorry, can we compare that to what a high-efficiency natural gas furnace from John Locke would cost you? Because last time I replaced a furnace, it wasn't anywhere close to $18,000 or $45,000. And look, if you are, let's say, 60 or older, maybe 50 or older, I'm going to put that down, 50 or older, do you really care about what is going to last for a long time? Because you don't know how long you're going to last. Basically, you'd be happy just to limp along to the end of the race. Yeah, natural gas is fine. Thank you. I don't really care about what happens after I'm gone. They didn't take any of that into consideration. It's almost like New York State has done this with a blindfold, utterly oblivious to the fact that the Buffalo area is supposedly one of the poorest areas in the United States of America. And New York State, take a drive in the New York State Thruway and look at all of the abandoned factories and manufacturing places. Do they exactly look like they're thriving? No, they look abandoned. And those towns that relied on those places to support them, like Canajoharie for many years, do they look like bustling little metropolises? No, they look dead. Dead as Dillinger. So your call on this, and I'd love to hear from plumbers and from electricians with your thoughts on this. And earlier, you know, let me give you the phone numbers first. 803-0930, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, earlier, we kind of repeated what we've talked about in previous programs, which is that you're already, even if your appliances last the rest of your life, and wouldn't that be great? Your hot water tank, yeah, you've got the 100-year warranty. You're good to go. Everything that runs on natural gas, your furnace, whatever it is, even if that lasted the rest of your life, you still, for the electricity that you are going to be using, you're going to be paying a fortune for it. Why? Because the demand is going to be higher. Because people are going to be leaving gas and coming to electric more and more. More stuff has to get powered. I'm sorry, electric cars. They weren't even a big thing just a few years ago. Now, that's another burden and demand on the system. The smart meters, you're paying, you'll be using the same amount of electricity. You could actually be using less electricity than you've ever used before, but if you're using it during a peak time, you're paying through the nose for your electric with the smart meters, okay? So that's one cost. The other cost, and we've talked about this before, is the upgrading of the electric grid. You don't think the utilities are going to just suck that cost up, do you? Of course not. Public Service Commission has given them authority to lay all of those costs onto you. $1 million a mile for a complete redo? Alrighty then, let's just average that out, shall we? Wonder what you're going to be on the hook for in terms of modernizing the electric grid in New York State. Something else I think you need to be aware of. In addition to the increased cost you're going to pay for electricity and the cost you're going to be paying to upgrade the grid, if you are a natural gas customer, you're going to be paying more because there will be fewer of you around. Your rates are going to go up if you stay on natural gas, in all likelihood, not to mention your school taxes, which are going to go up because the electric buses and their chargers have to be purchased. And nobody's going to like these electric buses. I have a funny feeling, despite the cost of the buses, they leave a little something to be desired from what I hear. But these are things we have talked about before. But these are like the basic costs everybody is going to be hit to pay. And that doesn't even include the appliances, which is what we've tried to focus in on today on WBEN. I don't know where you're going to get the money. Really, I don't know where this is all going to come from. America already, households in America, including Buffalo and Erie County and New York State, already carry absurd amounts of consumer debt, which is like indentured servitude. Credit card debt sucks. Here is, I didn't even like a mortgage. Here's Tim on a cell phone on WBEN. Hello, Tim.
Hey, good afternoon. So for the last 39 years, I've been selling gas-fired boilers, furnaces, and air conditioning. Our company, we're a distributor. Over 90% of the furnaces that we sell this year will be replacements, not in new builds. So if you fast forward 5, 6, 7 years from now, even if the new builds are going all electric because of law, the replacement market for gas-fired equipment is going to go on for decades, for decades.
So what are you saying? That people are going to replace their dead gas furnaces with the stuff that you've been stocking up on? Is that what I'm getting out of this?
Well, we're not stocking up on it, quote-unquote, but we're going to have gas-fired equipment for replacement business for a long, long time to come.
Basically, what you're going to try to do, if I understand you correctly, upon further review, is to have enough parts available so that somebody's natural gas furnace can be repaired for the indefinite future?
I would hope that people that have natural gas appliances will be able to purchase and have installed new equipment for many years to come. Can you comment on just...
Well, new, little, I don't think, sir, I don't think new equipment is going to happen because of the ban. That is verboten. Or maybe you can buy it, but you can't install it. And we had a guy earlier say that the homeowners companies may start debanking or de-insuring people who don't abide by the terms of the ban in New York State. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I've got three little points. The first point that I'll make is that the industry itself, the people that install and service modern-day ulterior fuel appliances, be it geothermal, heat pumps, or whatever, there's an extremely large contingent of contractors that don't even know how to do that yet. So even if the equipment was great, everything was available and all that, you got a whole industry of installers and technicians that need to come up to speed on geothermal or heat pumps or whatever that aren't there right now today, okay? So that's just an education thing and getting the whole industry to grow.
And you've got a whole generation of people who can't afford it. So next.
Yeah. So the second point I wanted to make is I have a medium-sized house in Hamburg, 2,000 square feet, gas stove, gas water heater, gas furnace right now today. If somebody just handed me $35,000 to convert my entire house over to electric, and I kept my same energy providers, which is NYSEG, my actual monthly fuel bill, my utility bills, would be higher today than if I continue with my gas-fired equipment. If I went all electric, it would cost me more every month for the next year.
Look, that is what we've heard from a lot of people when our other shows have kind of focused on the smart meters and the bills going up the way they've gone up. And look, these are topics that hit people who listen to this station right in the solar plexus of emotion. I hear you. And frankly, the cost of electricity, as we've said before, this isn't me. This is the research that I've done. I'm just spitting out what I've learned online. Electricity costs are going to go up because demand is going to go up. And same old story, supply and demand. And, except of course, with the gas, where the demand is going to be lower, but because there will be fewer people, then they're going to have to make up the difference. So you can't win no matter what you do. Tim, thanks very much. I appreciate the call.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day, everybody.
I shall. I shall. And frankly, I am so happy with today's show. I really appreciate your calls. And I'm glad that I was able to expiate my guilt, because after yesterday's show, I thought to myself, hey, moron, this is me talking to me. Hey, idiot. You keep on talking about the big picture in New York State, the lack of capacity of the grid, that nobody thought through the logistics of this. Why don't you tell people who listen to you about the appliances and what their options are going to be and how expensive they are, and get into some of the other factors that are going to make people not very happy in about 4 years because they have no money to go out to eat anymore. Don't worry, people will still find money for beer, tattoos, and cigarettes. They always do. There's always money for the casino, but they're going to complain about the electric. All right, nothing wrong with beer, by the way. Anyway, thanks to Tanner Saunders for magnificent work behind the glass. Coming up on News Radio 930 WBEN, Tom Puckett with Buffalo's Evening News, Fox Across America, and, of course, David Bellavia on the air tomorrow from 9 until 1. I get to follow Joe Beamer 1 until 3. He loves the Erie County Fair, as do I, by the way. And I'll be here with mediocrity and stumbling until, well, 3 until 6. And hopefully tomorrow we'll have a complete three-hour show without any abbreviated interruptions in the middle of them. By the way, thanks to Tom Maddy and Al Maranka of the WBEN Odyssey Buffalo Engineering family. They were awesome today. They took care of those ghosts of the machines. They are the bloody best at what they do. I can't even explain what they did. I don't have a clue. But they are the best, because it was a mess. It was a cluster, and they did a couple of quick things and no more outages. And thank you, guys, Al Maranka and Tom Maddy. And look, it just happened. It happens everywhere. Happens to your favorite people everywhere in media, broadcasting. And today it struck us. Poor Tanner. I thought Tanner was going to be apoplectic. I had to soothe him. I served as his crisis hotline, just so you're aware of that.